Welcome to episode 90 of the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. If you want to burn fat, gain energy, and enhance your health by changing when you eat, not what you eat, with no calorie counting, then this show is for you. I'm Melanie Avalon, author of What, When, Why, Lose Weight and Feel Great with Paleo-Style Meals, Intermittent Fasting, and Wine. And I'm here with my co-host, Jen Stevens, author of Delay, Don't Deny, Living an Intermittent Fasting Lifestyle. For more on us, check out ifpodcast.com, melanieavalon.com, and jenstevens.com. Please remember, the thoughts and opinions on this podcast do not constitute medical advice or treatment. So, pour yourself a cup of black coffee, a mug of tea, or even a glass of wine, if it's that time, and get ready for the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. Okay, friends. People often ask me, what is the one supplement I cannot imagine my life without? And while there are a lot of supplements out there, a lot of ones that I love, a lot of ones that I advocate, there is one supplement that inspired me to create a whole supplement line. And that's because I take it every single day and I really can't imagine my life without it. That would be Serapeptase. And I'm about to tell you how to get up to 15% off on a special bottle version that we have that also saves you money. So Serapeptase is a proteolytic enzyme created by the Japanese silkworm. Now we make it in a lab, so it is vegan. When you take this enzyme in the fasted state, it actually goes into your bloodstream and it breaks down problematic proteins in your body. These are things that your immune system is often reacting to and that create inflammation. That's why it can do incredible, amazing things like clear your sinuses. That's why I first started taking it. You can completely say goodbye to allergy meds with Serapeptase. It reduces inflammation and pain. My friend just started taking it for her back pain and told me she was shocked at how effective it was, more so than the pain pills she normally was taking. It can help reduce cholesterol. It's even been shown in clinical studies to break down amyloid plaque in vitro and in vivo. Basically, it is a wonder supplement. And what's super cool about it is that it specifically breaks down those problematic non-living proteins. It doesn't harm healthy tissue. It actually helps protect that. That's because the function of the original enzyme in the silkworm is to break down the cocoon of the silkworm without actually harming the silkworm itself. And there aren't studies on this, but I really believe it can help catalyze your fast by enhancing the natural process of autophagy. Again, not studies on that, but from a mechanistic standpoint, it totally makes sense. Here's the thing. I was taking so many different brands of Serapeptase, and they always seemed a little hard on my stomach and have problematic ingredients in them, especially special enteric coatings where they wouldn't disclose what that was made of, which meant it probably contained problematic plastics. I knew I needed to make a change. That's why I created my Avalon X Serapeptase. It's what launched my Avalon X line. I will never stop taking it. It's one of my favorite things in my life, and the effects I experience are profound, and I hear that from all of you guys as well. We test it multiple times for purity and potency. It's free of all problematic fillers and common allergens. It comes in a glass bottle to help prevent leaching of plastics into ourselves and the environment. And we even use the minimum amount of stickiness in the label on the bottle to help reduce problematic compounds. So if you want to tackle your inflammation, clear your brain fog, oh, it's amazing for brain fog, stop your allergies, attack amyloid plaque, reduce pain, so many things, you need Serapeptase. And you can get 10% off with the coupon code Melanie Avalon. But here's another thing. We actually have a special large bottle. It's the only supplement that we have right now in a large bottle. It's the 180 version and it saves you money. If Serapeptase is a part of your daily life, like it is mine, you definitely want our large bottle size, 180 capsules. It's the best way to save. And again, you can save even more with my Melanie Avalon 10% discount, or you can get 15% off that as well if you get a subscription. Which, by the way, with a subscription, you could pause or cancel anytime after your first order. So it kind of makes sense to do a subscription because you save even more. If you want a supplement that you can actually feel the difference, I promise you, Serapeptase is the way to go. And then you might end up like me and want to give it as gifts to everybody because it's that incredible and can address so many issues. You can get this at avalonx.us. That's AVALONX.US. Again, there is the 90 capsule size and the 180 capsule size. You save more with the 180. Use the coupon code MelanieAvalon for 10% off or get a subscription for 15% off. And we will put all this information in the show notes.
One more thing before we jump in. Did you know that common ingredients found in skincare and makeup products can actually disrupt your endocrine system? These endocrine disruptors are a silent threat that can have significant impact on your health, including something that is very important to me, fertility. Your skin is your body's largest organ, and what you put on it matters. Endocrine disruptors are chemicals that interfere with the natural hormonal communication in the body. It also matters during pregnancy, and that's one of the reasons I pay close attention to what I put on my skin while being pregnant. Studies have shown that exposure to endocrine disruptors can affect both male and female fertility. For women, these disruptors can lead to irregular menstrual cycles, ovulation issues, and even polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS. In men, they can reduce sperm quality and quantity, making it even more challenging to conceive. But it's not just about fertility. When it comes to fat loss, one of the reasons that endocrine disruptors can get in the way of fat loss is because a lot of our toxins are actually stored in our fat. It's a way that our bodies protect us from those toxins. These toxic compounds can even work synergistically, amplifying their harmful effects and making it that much harder to shed unwanted body fat. All of these reasons are why I am obsessed with a company called Beauty Counter. The founder actually started the company when she learned about the potential dangers of toxic chemicals and their link to health issues, specifically miscarriages and infertility. While pregnant, I make sure to only use Beauty Counter products. It's one of the only makeup lines that is officially recommended from the Environmental Working Group. What really sets Beauty Counter apart is their unwavering commitment to protecting us, the consumers, from the hidden dangers that lurk in conventional beauty products. Beauty Counter goes above and beyond, rigorously screening every single ingredient that goes into their products, ensuring that they are safe, clean, and free from harmful toxins. They're not just a beauty brand, they're a movement for change, advocating for stronger regulations in the beauty industry. With Beauty Counter, I know that I can trust that the skincare and makeup that I use are not only effective, but also safe for me and my family. They have skincare lines for every skin type, as well as so many other incredible products. I absolutely love their overnight resurfacing peel. It's my favorite way to get anti-aging benefits in a skincare product. The makeup is absolutely amazing. I have tried alternative beauty products in the past and none of them truly performed. But with Beauty Counter, the foundation is so amazing. It makes me feel like my skin can breathe and it looks so dewy and beautiful. You can shop with me at beautycounter.com/VanessaSpina. New customers can use the code CLEANFORALL20 for 20% off their first order. BeautyCounter.com/VanessaSpina. All right, friends, now back to the show.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. This is episode number 90 of the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. I'm Melanie Avalon, and I'm here with Jen Stevens.
Hi, everybody.
And how was your Christmas, Jen?
Well, it was absolutely a roller coaster of excitement. The few days leading up to Christmas, Delay Don't Deny was number one in the weight loss category for 3 days in a row. And it was like so exciting. In fact, this is kind of funny. I don't know why it's like this, but I was number one and number 10 in the weight loss category for a while because the paperback was number one and the Kindle version was number 10. And I don't even know why they're showing up separately, but for some reason they were. Maybe because initially they were one was Create Space, one was anyway. So now they're all rolled into Kindle Direct Publishing, but perhaps that was why. I don't know. So it was really cool being number one and number 10 in weight loss. And this was like, I got it even have any idea this was happening until someone let me know, but Delay Don't Deny was number 26 of all of the books on Amazon. Like all of them. Like number one was Michelle Obama's book. Number two was the Wonky Donkey. They weren't weight loss books. I mean, these were like National Geographic for kids. I mean, you know, it was holiday type books, I guess. People were buying things for Christmas. So I was like, this is so exciting. So thank you, listeners, who did a lot of reading of Delay Don't Deny and gifting Delay Don't Deny, and it was very, very exciting. I can now say I have a number one bestseller on Amazon in the weight loss category.
Like the actual number one bestseller. That's exciting. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Big things are to come in 2019. I feel it.
Oh, me too.
It's going to be a big year for intermittent fasting. I mean, I feel it. It's going to be huge. So
it's going to be the year.
Yeah, I think so. We're coming out of the shadows of and out into mainstream. So I love it. So how about you? How have you been doing?
So I was actually talking to Ariane Resnick. She's the chef who created all of the recipes for What When Wine.
Right.
And she has a new book coming out. And it's so funny. So she sent me a copy of the book, and I didn't even realize that she had my editor. Like, she ended up signing with my editor for What When Wine.
Oh, very cool.
Like, the not even the same, I mean, the same publishing company, but then also the same
editor
as well. So
that's
small
great.
World. I was like,
yep.
Because I got the book, and then I was reading like the acknowledgments at the end, and it was like, thanks to, and then my editor. And I was like, wait, what? But reason I bring that up. So she's like super talented. She's been like the celebrity chef for like Pink's personal chef.
Okay.
She's done a lot of recipes for like really high profile people and magazines and things like that. And she specializes in food sensitivities and creating recipes for any diet plan. So she has a new book coming out, and it's called Wake Sleep. And the subtitle is What to Eat and Do for More Energy and Better Sleep. And this is so funny. Remember how we were talking about, like, I was saying you should have the upside down version of your book?
Oh, with one on each side? Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's what hers is.
Oh, I love that.
Like, the one side is wake, and then the other side is sleep.
Oh, that's cool.
And you, like, flip
yep.
it. Half of it is recipes that help you, like, have energy and be awake, and then half of it is recipes to, like, help you fall asleep.
Very cool.
It's brilliant, and it has a lot of science behind everything, and it's like a lot of wake stuff that's caffeine free at the same time, and then, you know, a lot of sleep stuff that obviously doesn't have alcohol or anything like that. It's a great book. Like, I can't recommend it enough. And we can do an Instagram giveaway for listeners.
Awesome.
For that book, because actually when this airs, it'll be coming out the next day.
Fabulous.
So I am actually going to post a picture of the book on my personal Instagram. So if you go to the Instagram Melanie Avalon, and there'll be a picture of that book. And then if you follow me, follow Ariane, and comment your favorite intermittent fasting life benefit, and then also tag a friend, maybe a friend who does intermittent fasting with you, or a friend that is into intermittent fasting, or a friend who you think would like this book. And we will enter you into a drawing, and you can comment as many times as you want. Just tag a different friend for each comment, and then we'll do a drawing. And yeah, that book actually will come out the next day, like tomorrow. It comes out tomorrow, but you can get a free copy. It'll be signed.
Awesome. That's wonderful. Yay. Yay for that.
Yay, free things.
Yeah. Free things we actually want. That's even better.
I know. No, like, this book is awesome. I can't wait to get, she sent me like the galley version. So, like, you know, the electronic version. I cannot wait to get the physical copy.
Awesome.
All right. Shall we jump into the questions for today?
Yes, let's get started.
All right. So to start things off, we have a question from Brittany, and we have questions from Brittany. The subject is questions on many different topics. All right. Here we go. We're going to do these one by one. So Brittany says, hello, Melanie and Jen. First, thank you for all that you do. I truly appreciate the podcast and information you share. I am loving the IF lifestyle and truly feel like it is something that I can do for the rest of my life. I'm writing you because I have a few questions for you on the topics of clean fasting, bio and life hacking, over-exercising, accidentally breaking a fast, and going paleo. I understand that this is a lot of questions and multiple topics that can't be covered in one episode because it would take the entire episode, which it might.
And we're glad. We're fine with that.
I know. But I hope you're able to address them at some point. Thank you. Just side note, I'm like an all or none person, so I can't.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I couldn't read a listener question and not do all of it.
I agree.
It would drive me crazy. Did you know, fun fact,
yeah.
Did you know that your brain more likely remembers things that you started but didn't finish?
No, I did not.
rather than things you didn't start?
I'm trying to understand, like, okay.
So, like, say you have a big project or something that you need to do. If you haven't started it yet, like you're thinking about doing it, it won't be constantly on your mind. Once you start it, so say it's like writing a book. So if you start writing a few pages, your brain, it remembers unfinished things. So it'll like constantly be thinking about it. And once you realize this, you will notice it. You'll notice that if you start anything and leave it unfinished, that it hovers in your brain.
See, I'm more of a like, I have a hard time leaving something unfinished because I'm like, once I start doing something, unless it's not something you can literally do at one time, I'm like hyper-focused on finishing. I have a hard time like doing a little bit of something and then leaving and then coming back to it.
So when you were writing your book, for example, if you're writing a chapter, you would write the whole
chapter?
Oh, gosh,
yes. Yes.
Oh, see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're different. Yep. I think I have a fear of something not being perfect. So I like don't ever want to finish it at one time because then I feel like it has to be perfect.
Yeah, I'm more of do the whole thing and then go away from it for a while and then come back to it. But once it's started, I can't stop. Like I literally would not be able to stop myself in the middle of that. Like I can gather the research. Like Feast Without Fear was more like that. Like I would gather the research and spend some time on that. But once I started writing it, I just have to write it. I just have to write it.
So you probably don't do this. Like this is something I do. If it's a day where I'm working at home all day and I'm working on lots of different projects, I'll like work on my audiobook for 20 minutes. Then I'll work on a blog post for 20 minutes. Then I'll go clean the dishes, but I won't clean the whole kitchen.
Nope.
And then I'll come back to the audiobook and then I'll write an email and then I'll go do something else in the kitchen.
No. I have to do it all at one time. Like, for example, when I am putting up Christmas decorations, I put up all the Christmas decorations in one day.
Okay.
I don't just do a little bit at the time or when I'm, yeah.
I mean, in that situation, I probably would do it in one day, but I would do it in chunks. So like I would do a little bit of Christmas decoration, then I would write on my blog post, then I would go
I am making Christmas decorations and do not stop me in the middle of it to tell me like you want me to fix you dinner or something. Forget it. I will fix you dinner when I'm done.
Yeah. This is
I don't
so
like
funny.
To be interrupted when I'm in the middle of a project.
This kind of ties into one of her later questions, actually.
Awesome.
We might not even get through this whole question at this point.
We will.
Okay. Here we go. My first question is about the clean fast. How do you know if these gray area things, such as lemon, lime, other types of teas, etc., I'm referring to Jen's maybe column on her chart, are breaking your fast? For example, I have been fasting for 6 weeks so far, and I've been drinking Tazo Zen. Is it Tazo?
I guess. I've never heard anybody say it.
Me neither. I think everybody just looks at it. Tazo Zen green tea, not adding anything to it. I have felt completely fine and have experienced about a 3 to 5 pound loss. However, out of curiosity, I looked at the ingredients of the Tazo Zen green tea this morning and it read, green tea, lemon verbena, spearmint leaves, lemongrass, natural flavors. Now, I know that natural flavors are a no-go for clean fasting, but my question is, if this doesn't seem to be affecting my fast, is it still? Should I stop consuming this during my fast, even though it does not make me hungry? Do you think that this has been stalling my results thus far? Thanks so much for your help. Okay, so that's the first question. I'm going to let Jen just run with this one.
All right. This is a great, great question, and it took me down a rabbit hole of natural flavors. But before that, I want to talk about what Brittany's saying about, you know, if it doesn't make me hungry, is it okay? And that's okay for things – that's an okay test for things that are in the gray area for people who have seen my diagram that's available in my Facebook group. And basically anything that is in the gray area are things like, you know, lemon wedge in your water or cinnamon, which theoretically may reduce insulin levels. So therefore, it might be a good choice during the fast since low insulin is what we want, but it really might not be okay for some people. So that's what we mean by the gray area. And we recommend that people – know what a clean fast feels like for a while before they experiment with any of those items. So even for you, Brittany, you say that you've been doing intermittent fasting for about 6 weeks and you've been having the tea the whole time. So see, you haven't done the clean fast test yet. So what you're going to have to do, like you think it's not making you hungry, but you don't really know because you've never done it without it. So what I would suggest is stop with this tea for, you know, 3 weeks and then try it again and see. And you may be surprised that actually, oh, there is a difference that you weren't aware of, because that's what happened with me when I used to fast before, when I didn't understand, before I read the obesity code, I didn't understand about stevia and its effects on insulin. So I thought that stevia I was using in my coffee was helping me to fast. And it wasn't until I gave it up that I realized it actually was making it harder. And once I started fasting clean, the fasting was so much easier. Like, I would not have said the stevia was making me hungry until I tried it without it. So that's my advice for you. Get rid of it for 3 weeks and see. Now, even so, we do always say no to natural flavors, and here's why. First of all, I would like to read you the Code of Federal Regulations definition of a natural flavor. Now, this is going to sound crazy, because it is, okay? The term natural flavor or natural flavoring means the essential oil, oleoresin, essence or extractive, protein hydrolysate, I don't even know if I'm saying these right, distillate, or any product of roasting, heating, or enzymolysis, I think that's something with enzymes, which contains the flavoring constituents derived from a spice, fruit, or fruit juice, vegetable or vegetable juice, edible yeast, herb, bark, bud, root, leaf, or similar plant material, meat, seafood, poultry, eggs, dairy products, or fermentation products thereof, whose significant function in food is flavoring rather than nutritional. Natural flavors include the natural essence or extractives obtained from plants. Okay, so you see, that is so broad. It could literally be anything. We don't know what it is. So you don't know when it says natural flavoring. It could literally be anything. Even the natural flavoring terminology could come from meat, seafood, whatever. I mean, anything. So we don't know what they're putting in there. It's just, it covers a bunch of different chemicals, and you just don't know what it is. So then I did some more digging, and I found a really interesting interview. Have you ever heard of the book The Dorito Effect, Melanie?
I don't think so.
Okay. I read this a while back, The Dorito Effect by Mark Schautzner. I'm not sure how to say his name, but Food Babe, who's big on, you know, what's in our food and investigating what's in our food. She's got a website. She had an interview with the author of The Dorito Effect, and we will put a link to the actual interview that she has with him in the show notes. And it has to do with, you know, his book is about what food manufacturers basically have done to foods that, you know, that mess with our brains and make us keep eating more and more and more. And, you know, he calls it the Dorito effect because, you know, these chemicals are found, of course, in Doritos, which are one of my most favorite junk foods of all time. I still like Doritos. I had some on Christmas Day, by the way. They're delicious. But his book explains why you can't just eat one, and also why you're never full when you eat them. They cause you to keep eating more and more and more, and that is by design. You know, you're not going to be satisfied from them. So basically, there's a video interview that we'll have the link to, and it's definitely worth watching. So he talks about what these flavorings do to your brain. Do you want this to be happening in your brain when you're trying to fast? And the answer is no. So if these, you know, quote, natural flavorings are stimulating an area of the brain, that is the last thing you want, the area of the brain that's leading to appetite and other things like that. So they even had one section where they talked specifically about LaCroix. We get this question a lot because they have those, quote, naturally flavored waters. That are supposedly just, you know, fruit essence. So people are like, what's the difference when I have a, you know, LaCroix lemon flavor? How is that different than when I throw a lemon wedge into, you know, my own sparkling water? Well, it is really, really, really different. These natural flavorings are not actually lemon. They're designed to simulate lemon in your brain. And, you know, it might be the oleoresin or the protein, all these different words that I said earlier. You don't really know what it is, but your brain is perceiving that it's lemon flavored, but it might actually not be anything like actual lemon. So he actually said, this is the quote, there is a perception of foodness that isn't there. And so even with other things like the fruit flavored things that might be actual fruit, like if you did put strawberries in your water yourself, even if you did it yourself, you know, we're sending a signal to our body that calories are on the way, and then we don't send the calories. And he talked about how this contributes to some of the metabolic issues that we're seeing these days with our bodies. So long story short, I would check out that video on Food Babe with the author of The Dorito Effect, and it really lets you know why we don't want anything with natural flavors during the fast. And, you know, some people avoid, you know, these types of things all the time. They just want to eat real food. You know, I had Doritos just the other day. Like I said, real Doritos, actual Doritos, but I had them in my eating window. But during the fast, we want to be careful. And I would avoid anything with natural flavors during the fast. All right, Melanie, what do you have to say about that?
I was just thinking about how I bought some prepared horseradish the other day, and it said natural flavors, and I called the company and was like, what is the natural flavors in your prepared horseradish? I have called so many companies and asked that question, but then they said it was just something from horseradish.
Well, they don't always even know. I mean, they're just going to say that. Yeah.
So you have horseradish, and then you have horseradish essence?
Flavoring? What
is that?
I know. Why? Right. So there was a blog post that I read. It was not the Food Babe one that I was referring to, but it was another one that talked about she did something like this. She started calling companies and asking them because it was a mom who had kids with food sensitivities. And she said she got like all kind of crazy answers when she would call and ask.
I love contacting companies about – I have contacted so many different companies about the random products with these questions. It's fun.
I absolutely would not trust what just somebody would tell you about that over the phone. Like they probably...
Well, it's usually via email, but...
Okay.
I think you answered that question well.
There's a lot to it. And just, it really, you know, the more you dig into what is being added to our food, the more it makes you kind of mad and you realize why we have such a problem with obesity, particularly, you know, if you're eating all day long, like I used to do. And, you know, you're like, well, I'm just having a 100-calorie pack of Doritos. What's the problem? It's 100 calories, but it stimulates the brain in a different way. It just makes you just crave more food on purpose. So
sneaky.
It is sneaky, but they want to sell you more food.
All right. So her next question, Brittany's next question, she says, I have noticed that many of your guests, Todd White, L. Russ, Dorian Greenough, talk a lot about biohacking. What is a biohack? What is a life hack? What is the difference between a life hack and a biohack? Could you list your top 5 bio and life hacks? So I'm curious if you agree with the definition, Jen, between bio and life hack. I had never really thought about this before, but...
Well, okay. Let me say what I think it is, and you can tell me if you think that's true.
Okay, sure.
I think a life hack is when you find something in your life that you tweak that makes your life easier, like something that makes your life easier or more enjoyable in a way. That's a life hack. And then a biohack, same idea, but it's more specific. It's when you're tweaking something to make your body function better or to something with the way your body operates.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same page. I see a biohack as, like you just said, something that we're I see it as a more modern thing because it's things now that we have technology and science and have been analyzing the body, it's these different things that we can do to upgrade our performance with all of our new knowledge and technologies and things like that. And then life hack, I like how you defined it. Maybe mine is just because I really what makes me happy is being productive in life. So I always see life hacks as ways to become more productive or more efficient or something like that. But
yeah, that's a good way of putting it. More efficient or just making your life easier.
So it's not necessarily your body per se, but something in how you do things.
And I was able to come up with 5 for each. I have 5 for each.
Me too.
Yay. All right. Should we start with life hacks?
Sure.
Do we want to do – you want me to name all 5 of mine or do we want to do them one by one?
I don't know. We always have this conversation.
I know, and I never know what we're going to do.
We could go back and forth.
Okay. All right. And if you say one of the same ones, then I'll say I had that one. All right. So I've got my 5 life hacks. What are your – you want me to start with the first one?
Sure.
Okay. Well, my first one and number two are kind of the same thing. I wrote them down as two separate ones, but one I started with and the other one I've introduced more recently. So I'm just going to start with number one, meal delivery kits. I started with these in 2016, and those are they have different menus every week, and they send you the actual food, like the food that you were going to have to go buy at the grocery store, but it's like in a box with ice, and it's fresh, and, you know, raw chicken, raw whatever, you know, corn on the cob that you have to shuck yourself, that kind of thing. So it's exactly like going to the grocery store and coming home with the food, except they send it to you and you have to cook it. The meal delivery kits have changed my life so very much. Like, for example, last night I had a delicious dinner from one of them, and it had Brussels sprouts in it. No big deal, right? Well, I didn't used to eat Brussels sprouts. I would not ever have gone to the grocery store and bought Brussels sprouts. But thanks to these meal delivery kits, I've really opened up my palate, and I'm eating foods I never tried before. So that is my number one life hack that changed my life when I started in 2016, and I've been doing them nonstop ever since.
Can I just say, if Brussels sprouts were more easily digestible, I would eat so many Brussels sprouts.
I love them.
I love them. Yeah. My mom hated them growing up, apparently, so we never had them growing up, and it was always like, Brussels sprouts, ew. Like, that was the vibe in the family. Like, nobody likes Brussels sprouts. And then I remember I finally tried them as an adult, and I was like, what have I been missing?
Well, here's a funny story. My mother only likes the ones that are frozen.
Oh.
they're not good at all.
Because they get more mushy, maybe?
Yes. I don't know.
I really like the frozen ones.
No, but she likes those. And so we went out to eat for the day before Christmas Eve, and I had this Brussels sprouts side dish, and it was like so amazing. And my mom was like, I don't think those look like Brussels sprouts at all. And I'm like, well, try one. And she's like, ooh, I don't like it. I'm like, that is hilarious, because I don't like her gross old way of making them.
You know, I tried the other day.
What?
Have you tried the purple Brussels sprouts?
I've not even ever seen those.
There is this brand. You should see if they have it at your local store. It's called Frida's, I think. And they make all of the really weird heirloom varieties and like weird versions of foods. They have tons of foods by them out here in LA. So they have like purple Brussels sprouts. They have the tiny little pineapples that are like baby little pineapples. They're miniature pineapples. Have you seen those?
No.
And they have like gooseberries and like all these just really weird foods.
Oh, I just thought of one more thing to add to my life hack list. So I'm going to put number one and number two together and say them at the same time because they're kind of similar. My other one besides the meal delivery kits is Prep Dish. And so I'm putting Prep Dish there too as life-changing. One of the members of my Facebook group joined Prep Dish after hearing about it on our show. And she was actually interviewed by Allison, the founder of Prep Dish, on the Prep Dish Facebook page. And so I loved seeing that. But the group member that was talking about it, she lives in Alaska. And so she can't do the meal delivery kits because she lives in Alaska and none of them deliver to Alaska. So she had her life changed dramatically because of Prep Dish, and loves it. And so I thought that was awesome. So, you know, the meal delivery kits are not for everybody. Number one, they might not deliver to you. Number two, face it, they are more expensive. You know, you are paying for the convenience of them bringing the food to your house. But with Prep Dish, you actually get all the menus figured out for you, and then they tell you what to buy at the grocery store. So you go to the grocery store and you get it yourself. You know, if you're going to the grocery store anyway, you can get the things you need there. And you can also adjust it. Like weeks that I have had more people coming or special events, I've used Prep Dish because I needed more flexibility. I needed more than just, you know, a meal delivery kit. So both of them work in my life. But that's my number one life hack, especially for intermittent fasters. You know, you want your food to be delicious.
Hi, friends. Now, I know most of you are familiar with the power of protein to help us to recompose our bodies, get fitter and leaner by losing body fat and protecting and gaining muscle or lean body mass. Now, protein supplementation is one of the best ways to do it. It is scientifically validated to help us produce high quality weight loss. Now, when it comes to weight loss, traditionally, a lot of people will do high carb, low calorie diets, and those have been shown to generate upwards of 40% lean body mass loss. Now, protecting your lean body mass and your muscle is crucial when you are wanting to lose some fat, because during weight loss, you don't want the weight lost to be coming from your muscle. The more muscle you're able to retain, the more you're retaining metabolically active tissue, which is going to keep your metabolic rate much higher and help you maintain the fat loss after you have achieved it. Now, one of the best ways, as I said, to do this is through using protein shakes. I've been on the lookout for years to find a high quality protein supplement that does not have fillers, dyes, artificial sweeteners, and using cheap protein concentrate, which can cause all kinds of issues like bloating and indigestion. I finally created a protein supplement that meets my standards, and it's something that I personally use every single day, and that is Tone Protein. Tone Protein not only is extremely clean and high quality with only whey protein isolate, no concentrates, no fillers, it is also scientifically formulated to optimize muscle protein synthesis, which is going to help you build lean body mass and muscle in the most efficient way possible. I am so incredibly excited about Tone Protein. Not only is it extremely high quality and optimized to help you recompose your body, it is also absolutely delicious. We've been having so much fun with all the different flavors that we are creating, and I just can't wait for you all to try it. Now, I wanted to create a special launch discount for all of you listeners so that you could check it out, try it out, see how you like it, and test it out for yourself. In order to receive that launch discount, you can head over to toneprotein.com and sign up with your name and email address, and you'll receive an email to double opt in to the list, and you will be the first to know when Tone Protein is available to order, and you will also receive that exclusive launch discount. It is going to be the biggest discount that we ever offer on Tone Protein, so I really want all of you to be able to receive it. So be sure to go to toneprotein.com, sign up with your name and email, and you'll be double opted in to that list. And I am so excited for you all to try it out. Let me know what you think of it, and let it help you to optimize your body recomposition goals, get that fat loss, and maintain and protect your lean body mass while doing it.
Okay. Should we keep going through your five?
That's fun. Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. My second one actually works well with Prep Dish, unless you're in a place that doesn't have it. Have you used Instacart? Have I talked about Instacart before?
No, but now I just thought of another life hack that reminds me. Because it's probably the same. It's probably similar. Okay. I'm adding a new life hack to mine.
I don't know. Well, it's like you send them your grocery list. It's like, you know how you have Amazon Prime and they bring you your stuff in 2 days, or if you live in a big city, like in 2 hours? Well, Instacart is like that, but they shop at, like, in our local area, you can get stuff from Costco or, you know, Kroger or Publix or, you know, Earth Fair, and they'll deliver it to your house. So you just send out your shopping list, and you have – it depends. You have to have a plan, or you pay a delivery fee, but I did the year plan, and – so then I don't have to pay a delivery fee each time. You just tip the shopper. Somebody actually is shopping with my grocery list. And it was awesome to get to do that, because I'd rather stay home than go fight the crowds at the store. I don't like to shop. We've talked about this before. I don't like to shop at the grocery store. But I'm also the world's worst grocery store shopper, because I'll be in there and I'm like, I'm going to buy, you know, $42 worth of cheese because I'm just buying, you know, random things. So like today, I bought really expensive champagne for New Year's Eve because it looked like something I needed. So I should just stay out of the store.
I remember I read that's something that our brain does too when we're shopping, especially people who have like shopping problems. If you see an item, your brain comes up with a situation that you might need it.
Yeah. I'm like, I need this $47 champagne because that's true.
Yeah, but it's like an evolutionary thing in your brain. I don't know how it like relates to like as a species, but for some reason, if we see something, our brain will construct a situation where you might need it to convince
you. So nobody tell my husband. He's not a podcast listener.
Okay. Mum's the word.
But it, also, if you buy $47 champagne at Costco, it doesn't really count. It's, you know, because you saved also that much money because you bought it at Costco.
Oh, that's the yeah, that's the other thing. It's like you feel like you feel like you're saving money by spending more.
I'm at Costco, right?
Yeah. If something is on sale, you feel like you're saving money. It's like, oh, you have to spend more to use this coupon to get a dollar off. So you feel like you're saving money, but you had to spend $10 more that you wouldn't have spent. And if you had used the coupon. Coupons are sneaky.
Yep. The psychology of a sale. By the way, listeners, we are recording this prior to New Year's Eve. So by the time you listen, I will have already consumed that delicious champagne. But yeah, Instacart keeps Jen out of the stores. So that's a good thing.
That's so funny because this wasn't one of my life hacks, but one I thought about doing was that this would only really apply to people who like this like me, but was to not stock up on groceries and go to the store every day to get your exercise and keep it fresh.
Yeah. Well, if you like to do that, that's a good one. All right, we got to hurry. Life hack 3. Artisan Bread in 5 minutes a Day. This is a book that's on the Favorite Things tab at jenstevens.com. This Artisan Bread in 5 minutes a Day is something a lot of the people in my Facebook groups are doing because you can mix it up, stick it in the fridge, and then every day you just pull out as much as you need to bake so you can have fresh bread every day. So that's a life hack that I've really enjoyed. Of course, now I'm grinding my own wheat, and so I'm using a different recipe. But that Artisan Bread in 5 minutes a Day changed my life to the point that now I just have to have fresh bread every day. Now I'm using more complicated bread, but it changed my life. Number 4 is leaving the butter on the counter.
My best friend in childhood used to do that. And I was like, isn't that supposed to be in the refrigerator?
You know, and I did some research about that. And back in the summer, or maybe even in the spring, and there are two camps of people in this world, people who leave the butter out on the counter and people who keep the butter in the refrigerator. And apparently keeping it on the counter is just fine. We've all been fine ever since we've been doing it, and so it's spreadable. So that was when I got my butter cow that I keep my butter for my butter dish for the dinner table. And I also have like a big butter dish that I keep by the stove. And so when I'm cooking, I can just scoop out butter and use it, and it's just, and I just keep, you know, I put new sticks in there whenever I get low. So keeping the butter on the counter is a life hack that, you know, you have that fresh spreadable bread at all times. And number 5, hiring people to do things for you. This one might be silly. Yeah, but here's just an example. I'm getting new curtains for my living room, and I can make curtains. I know how to sew, but I'm not very good at it, and they're not going to be great. And the curtain fabric I'm using has a white background, and probably, but I know myself, by the time I finish, they would be dirty because I would be like, I don't know, spilling coffee on them, whatever. I don't trust myself. So I didn't realize, you know, a lot of the cost in curtains is the fabric. Of course, if I made them myself, I would have to buy the fabric anyway. So I found this local company that makes them for $95 a panel. And it's going to be like 1,000 times better than if I did it myself. So just sometimes you can just hire somebody to do something and it isn't as expensive as you thought it was going to be. That also works for the podcast Intermittent Fasting Stories, because I would still not be doing it if I had to do the editing myself because I don't know how to do it. So I found a company that edits podcasts, and it relieves the pressure of thinking you have to do it yourself.
I was going to say, time is money.
It is. And so I don't have to sew my own curtains, and I don't have to edit the podcast, and that is okay. All right. So what are your 5?
I was wondering if they were all going to be food related for you, because 4 out of 5 were food, right?
Well, they were, because, I mean, the rest of my life doesn't need any hacking, I guess.
It's just funny because, like, mine are pretty much all about productivity.
Oh, that's great.
Almost. I have like 10 of them though.
Oh,
this was so hard. Okay. They're not actually all productivity. Okay. So my first one is make all of your passwords I don't want to give away my passwords. This won't give it away though. Make all of your passwords something that is motivational or like a mantra. So then every time you have to type in your password, you automatically do a mantra in your head.
Ooh, that's awesome.
So something like, you know, you are amazing, or like, I've got this, or
delay, don't deny.
Yeah, exactly.
That is not my password, y'all. It is not.
So if you struggle with like implementing mantras, because they can be very powerful, but sometimes it's hard to like to remember to like say them. So that's one way to do it.
Awesome.
Okay. So number two, if you're struggling with starting a project or you're procrastinating or something like that, say you're going to work on it for just 1 minute, because you can do anything for 1 minute. And chances are if you start working on something, you'll keep doing it. Or you could do like 5 minutes.
Well, for me, I would keep doing it till it was finished, because now you know that about me.
For the non-gens in the world, so like if you need to write something or do something, basically give yourself a really short time limit and say, okay, I'm not going to have to finish it, because I think that's what's overwhelming. That's what overwhelms me, is I feel like if I start it, I have to finish it. And that's really overwhelming to me. And I want it to be perfect, like I said. So instead, I think, okay, I'm going to work on this for 5 minutes, and then it'll just be whatever. It doesn't have to be finished, but chances are once I start it, I just keep going. So that's number two. Number three, something else for like boosting productivity. There's a point of diminishing returns where, because your brain, they say that like your brain really functions best working on something for 20 minutes, or I don't know. It sounds like an arbitrary number, but basically when you're working on something for a really long time, for most people, there is a point where you're going to lose focus. And at that point, it is not, there's really no point in trying to stay focused and keep on keeping on, because your brain needs to switch to something else. What I find is when I hit that point where I can tell that I'm not really focusing, you can switch to something else that is productive, but something that's not pressing before switching back. So then you can still get things done and not lose your productivity stream. Okay, so that sounded really vague. Here's an example. Say that you need to write, and this is just me because I do blog posts. Say you need to write a blog post or write something. So work on it and go until you feel good. And then when you can see that you're starting to wander and not really focusing, then switch and do another task that is not pressing but is still productive, like working, like cleaning your desk a little bit. So then you could work on cleaning your desk, and that's like mindless, and you can do that, you know, for another 20 minutes or so, but you're getting something done. It's mindless. You're giving your brain a break, and then you can go back to your task. So I know Jim wouldn't like that because it's alternating between different things. But I found that really works for me. And I've always done that naturally. And then I was reading the Atomic Habits book that I talked about before. And he talked about that like in detail. And I was like, oh, it's like a thing. Who knew?
See, for me, I can't pull my brain away. And I'm like constantly still thinking about the thing that I didn't finish.
But like I was saying, you remember things that you didn't finish.
Right. And I can't stop thinking about it. And so I have to just finish it.
Yeah. This wasn't one of them. I would also throw out for writing. Something else you can do is you can write with wine at night in your creativity mode and then edit with caffeine in the morning. I find that very effective.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so number four. Okay. So here's like a social one. People associate what you're talking about, even if it's not about you, with you. So if you talk to somebody and you're gossiping like negatively about somebody else, even though you're talking about the other person, the person that you're talking to will subconsciously attribute the things you're saying to you. If you're like, that person is so stupid and mean and I don't like them, then the person that you're talking to is going to have those negative vibes attached to you. So when you talk to people, I think it's really important to only, you know, keep things positive or neutral.
And that's just a good life lesson in general. Don't be a big gossip. Yeah. But here's why. Yeah.
Remember, I think I talked about this on the podcast. If you write an email, they did the study, and if you write an email or a letter and there's a typo, how it's interpreted. Did I bring this one up?
I can't remember.
Like if you write, they found out that if you write an email and it has a typo in it,
they like you better, or that what?
No, they, whatever the emotion of the email is, seems more extreme for you. So like if it's a really friendly email and there's a typo, they're like, oh, she's super friendly. But if it's like a really mean email and there's a typo, it makes you seem meaner.
It magnifies the emotion. That is so interesting.
And I realized that. I think it's because, like, you, like, I don't know why, you, like, see the person in your head, you know, writing the email or saying the words. And when they mess up, I guess it just accentuates whatever aspect of them. And then, so number five, I changed because I thought of it based on what you said. Have you heard of the Ibotta app?
Huh. I don't know. Is that the same as, like, Instacart?
It's super amazing.
I think I've seen it written. Is it Ibotta? I've seen it. I don't know what it is.
You basically get, like, discounts and cash back on basically everything you're already buying.
Okay. So that's like Ebates.
Yeah. Like, you look up the different things. So, like, I use it for Amazon. So now I never go on my browser and go on Amazon. I go onto my phone, click on Ibotta, click on Amazon. It's just one extra click in your life. And then then it pulls up the normal Amazon site. So it's like nothing ever happened. But you get like 5% back on a lot of things. And it's like, oh.
Awesome.
And then it's stuff for like grocery stores. Like, you can click Kroger or Ralph's and then it'll have all these things. And you just take a picture of your receipt and you get money
back. Awesome. That's a great hack.
So, or like there's one for PetSmart. So like when I had my cat in Atlanta, her cat food was really expensive because of course I was going and buying the like – like really expensive
the fancy cat fancy
free cat range food. Turkey dinners with like no additives. Duck, actually, apparently duck is a really good non-allergenic protein for cats. I did a lot of research. But yeah, get like cash back on her $30
I love it
protein, grass-fed. I don't know, ducks don't eat grass. I don't know what they eat. What do ducks eat?
Bugs. I think they ate bugs.
This is going to sound like a plug. I've never done the social network aspect of it, but I know that you can sign up through referrals and I think you form like a team or something, but I do know you get a sign up incentive. Like I signed up through a friend and immediately got $10. So I will put in the show notes, I'll research this a little bit and I will put a link to use. And I think if you use a referral code that I put, you'll get $10.
Cool.
And you'll be on my team.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
So basically, I just told you how to download an app and get $10, even if you don't use it. Yeah, I'll put links to all of it in the show notes.
Awesome.
And those will be at ifpodcast.com/episode90.
Fabulous. All right, we ready for the biohacks?
We are not going to get through this whole question. I was like, we're done with that one. Okay. Yes, biohacks.
No, biohacks. All right. Number one biohack is, of course, drum roll please, intermittent fasting.
Oh, I didn't even put that.
I mean, that's the number one biohack because, you know, it's what we're doing. I'll just move on. Okay. The number two biohack is my vibration plate.
I had that.
And I love that because it's great for muscle building. It's great for your lymph system. I love my vibration plate.
It makes me feel so good. I like sitting on it too.
Yep. Yep. All right. My number three biohack is black coffee because we know that black coffee is linked to increased autophagy. We also know that when you drink black coffee, it helps you deplete your liver glycogen faster during the fast and get you to the fat burning state more quickly. We've seen research that it's great as a pre-workout before exercising. So it's an easy biohack, black coffee. We love it.
Side note, it's the perfect pre-workout. You don't need all that other stuff.
You don't. If somebody's trying to sell it to you, especially if they're like, you're going to be on their team and now you're going to be a millionaire, you don't want it.
Just walk away.
Walk away.
Come join my Ibotta team instead.
Get some black coffee, right? All right. My fourth biohack is my new bed that tracks sleep, which is awesome. It's helping me make connections between what I'm doing and my sleep. I had a great night's sleep last night, by the way. And then my fifth biohack is something I talk about in Feast Without Fear, and that is the fact that we have bio-individuality and that what works for me is not going to work for you, and it could be based on both your DNA or your gut microbiome. So I've had both DNA testing through 23andMe, and I had my gut microbiome tested through the American Gut Project. And I learned some very important things about myself. It was kind of, you know, confirming what I already knew. It wasn't like I shifted anything I didn't know, but it confirmed what I already knew about myself. So that was just interesting. Do you have to do that? No. But it's interesting. And there are more and more companies that are actually doing this kind of thing now.
I should have thought of the genetic testing.
Actually, yeah. I shouldn't have because then I'd have more than five. I agree with that one, though. I mean, yeah. I agree with all the ones you said.
It's cool. Yeah.
And I thought of another one while you were talking. Oh, this is so hard. I have like 50 million.
Oh, I know. I was like, this is a Melanie question, but I'm going to make you limit it to five.
Okay. Number one, red light therapy.
Obsessed. I knew it.
I'm obsessed with my Juve. Everybody needs a Juve in their life. It's just so amazing. I talk about it all the time on the podcast, but I'm obsessed and I want a bigger unit now so bad. I think I'm going to get one, maybe, when I'm in a more permanent space. It's amazing for energy, for like mood, for skin health. It just makes me feel so amazing. We do have a special deal for listeners, by the way. if you go to juve.com/IFPodcast and use the code IFPodcast, you get a free gift. So definitely, if you check out the Juves, definitely get one of those. And they have a new miniature device coming out, which is super exciting. So yeah, red light. Number two, I have like 20 million sleep hacks, but I have so many. But my favorite sleep hack, hands down, best decision I ever made, the red light goggles. I can't even describe how life-changing they are. One pair that's more of an orange colored, and they're like $10 on Amazon, super cheap. I put them on when like the sun would be going down anyway, and it just blocks out like the blue light, which is very stimulating to our bodies and stops the production of melatonin. So by wearing the goggles, you're mimicking the normal circadian light rhythms. And then I also have the True Dark glasses, which are like super duper red. They're like $100, but they're made specifically for this. And I put those on right before bed. And I mean, you put them on and it's like instant fall asleep. It's amazing. So I'll put links to all of that. I'll put links to all of these biohacks that we talk about in the show notes. Speaking of sleep, just plugging again that Instagram giveaway, because you could pair that with your sleep routine and have some nice recipes to help you fall asleep. Number four, you probably saw this one coming, Jen. Cold therapy and like the Wim Hof breathing technique. I'm just going to stop there and refer listeners to last week's episode, right? Or no.
Right.
Two episodes ago.
Oh, was it
two? I think it was. But yeah, we had an episode where I talked all about cold therapy and breathing technique and the workings of Wim Hof. I'll just refer you to that episode rather than recap it all. And number five, this is the one I just thought of and I changed.
Oh, no, I have six.
All right, you can do six. Do six.
Okay. Number five, dry farm wines.
That's a good one.
Drinking organic wines. I mean, if you want to biohack your alcohol relationship and like say goodbye to hangovers and feel good after drinking, you really want to be drinking organic wines in general. And dry farm wines, we love. They are amazing. And what I really love about them, I think my favorite thing is you get to try. So they go all throughout the world and they find all the wineries practicing organic practices without being quote organic. And then they have a subscription service where they send you, you know, you get a box of wines in the mail every month. What I love about them is you get these really random varietals. So, I mean, you'll get like, you know, Cabernets and Pinot Noirs and things you've heard of, Chardonnays, but then you also get these super random varietals that you would have never tried. I tried the other night a Gruner Veltliner, which I never had before. Apparently it's a white wine primarily from Austria, and it was super delicious. And now I know what a Gruner Veltliner is, and I wouldn't have before.
Awesome.
And we also have a deal for listeners with that. Basically, listeners, if I really like something, I go to the company and try to get free deals for us. That's how this works. so if you go to dryfarmwines.com/IFPodcast, you get a free bottle for a penny with your first order, which is a super awesome deal. And number six, low-dose naltrexone. So it is a modern pharmaceutical, but the way it works is it temporarily blocks your opioid and endorphin receptors in your body, which causes your body to then rebound and create more natural endorphins. And endorphins are just so healing, so wonderful for the body overall. And because of the way it works, it's like exercise. It makes your body create endorphins rather than masking problems or giving your body endorphins. So it's like an exercise for your endorphin system.
Cool.
I love it. A lot of natural, if you want to try it out, a lot of naturally minded practitioners are very familiar with it. It's like the thing. So, all right, shall we move on?
Yes, we can do it. We can do it.
We might have to do a part two. Okay, here we go. On a couple of episodes, I've noticed that you have stated something to the effect that that a person can be over-exercising and that could be a possible cause of no weight loss. I have never heard this. Currently, I work out about 5 days per week, a mixture of weights, HIIT, and cardio about 30 minutes per day. Do you think I am overworking out? Could you reference some studies that talk about overworking out? Okay, I'm so excited about this question. I did so much research.
Good. Here's what I'm going to say about that. The first thing you said is, do you think I am overworking out? Well, we can't know that. Maybe what you're doing is exactly right for your body. Maybe it's not enough for your body. Maybe it's too much for your body. Just like with fasting, there is no perfect amount of fasting. We think intermittent fasting is awesome, but you can also overdo it. Fasting is a stress on your body. It's a good stress, but it can also cross into the realm of bad stress if you overly fast, if you do too much of it. The same with exercise. Exercise is a great stress for your body. It's really good for your body, but there is a point where you can do too much. And the key is that that's different for all of us. You know, what is just right for you would be too much for somebody else and not enough for another person. So we can't tell you, you know, what's right for your body. Now, I did find three different studies just, you know, in a few minutes of looking about over-exercising. And there's one from 2008, and the title of it is Exercise and Circulating Cortisol Levels, the Intensity Threshold Effect. Cortisol is something, it's like a stress hormone, okay? And if you have too much cortisol, that can cause you to gain weight or have trouble losing weight. Cortisol is associated with weight gain, so you do not want to have elevated or excess cortisol. And so notice that in the title it said the intensity threshold effect. So basically, there was a point where it just got to be too much. So like as the intensity of the exercise increased for the participants, the cortisol increased in a way. Like first it didn't. Like first exercise could lower your cortisol and be very good, but eventually you're going to be doing so much it raises it. That's what they found. There's a threshold beyond which your cortisol is going to go up. And again, that's not going to be the same for everybody. There was a 2015 study, the effects of 4 weeks aerobic training on saliva cortisol and testosterone in young healthy persons. And they found that 4 weeks of moderate aerobic training 3 times per week significantly elevated the levels of stress hormones, including cortisol. So, you know, too much can do it. And then a 2013 study called Overtraining, Exercise, and Adrenal Insufficiency. These are all on PubMed. These are all legitimate studies. These aren't just like, you know, random blog posts. These are peer-reviewed PubMed studies. This one's, here's a quote from it. Running or any aerobic training in moderation has a positive effect on health. There is a point of diminishing returns. There's that phrase you talked about earlier, Melanie, where chronic stress from overtraining, which is common in runners, may be linked to problems in the adrenal gland. Overtraining syndrome has been linked with adrenal insufficiency. There's a direct link between stress and the adrenal glands. And the physical stress of overtraining may cause the hormones produced in these glands to become depleted. So that was just three. I just, you know, didn't spend much time looking and found those very, very quickly. So the key is you don't want to overtrain. You don't want to overly stress your body. But, you know, I can't tell you how much that is. If you feel good, that's a good sign. If you're not having weight loss, if you feel overstressed, if you have a lot of other stressors going on, you know, maybe that's not working for you. I have found that the exercises that make me feel great are, you know, more gentle things like Pilates. I'm like crazy, crazy, crazy about Pilates to the point that I am now about to also join a Pilates studio and go do it there too. Like I'm going to be doing just Pilates all the time because I feel so good when I'm doing it. I also felt good doing Tai Chi. I did not feel good doing some of the aerobic stuff. It felt very, very stressful to me. So, my body didn't like that. So you just have to figure out what works well for you.
I'm really happy that you found those studies because we took we come to the same conclusion, but we took a slightly different approach in our research. So I think we're providing a very nuanced perspective. So I sat down to research this, and I'd like to start by discussing how we see consistently that in general, physical activity and daily energy expenditure doesn't correlate to weight loss in general. So for example, in a 2016 review, it was called The Role of Physical Activity and Exercise in Obesity and Weight Management, Time for Critical Appraisal. They say, for example, and this is obesity, but they say the idea that obesity is caused by consistent decline in daily energy expenditure, so not, you know, doing as much physical activity, is not supported either by objective measures of energy expenditure or physiological theory of weight gain. And what it says, and this is going to sound like it's proving the opposite of my point, but bear with me. It says, based on the present literature, unless the overall volume of aerobic exercise training is very high, clinically significant weight loss is unlikely to occur. So yes, that is saying that unless you if you exercise a ton, you're going to lose weight. It is saying that, but the picture here is that energy expenditure and physical activity does not correlate directly to weight loss that we would anticipate.
It's not a mathematical formula, whereas you can like count up how much you burned off. It's not like that. Like we think that it is.
Exactly. And here's a more specific study, which yes, this does find that people are losing more weight with going really intense with, you know, diet and exercise. But I want you to pay attention to the numbers I'm about to say. So it's called Effect of Diet and Exercise Alone or Combined on Weight and Body Composition in Overweight to Obese Postmenopausal Women. This was from 2012. And they compared obese women who were dieting, obese women who were exercising, and obese women who were dieting and exercising, and then a control group. And the dieting group lost 8.5%, whereas the exercise group just lost 2.4%. Diet had a much bigger effect than exercise. And when they combined, yes, they did lose more. They lost 10.8%. But what I think is just so important to like realize here is that most of the changes were coming from the diet and the exercise didn't seem to make that much of a difference, which brings us to a 2016 study. And this is like the big one that I love. And it's called Constrained Total Energy Expenditure and Metabolic Adaptation to Physical Activity in Adult Humans. And basically what they did is they looked at 332 adults from five different countries, and they looked at their physical activity over a week. They measured their physical activity and they measured their daily energy expenditure. So how much calories they're actually burning and how it related to physical activity. And so basically that. So what they were trying to figure out was, does moving more and having more exercise and more physical activity, does that make you burn more calories throughout the day? And what they found was that lower levels of physical activity, people did burn more. But once you started burning more and more and more, and once you surpassed moderate activity levels, so like intense activity, that it plateaued, that you didn't lose any more from going more intense.
Guess what? That study is in Delay, Don't Deny.
Oh, yay.
I recognize the title of it, but yeah, that's the one that I talk about specifically in the exercise chapter of Delay, Don't Deny, that one right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you remember they said what I thought was really interesting? They found a few different findings. They found that people who weighed more did burn more. If you don't weigh as much, you're probably not going to burn as much, which I think is something we talk about with being like overstressed, you know? So like if you don't really have the weight to lose, going more, harder is not really the way to go here. And then they also found that those who exercised more intensely, which they called vigorously, that was also negatively correlated. So going like harder did not make you burn more.
Right. And the key to that is the title, because it says metabolic adaptation, and that's what happens. You know, as you start ramping up the level of intensity, your body actually adapts to that and it does not correlate with the higher output like you think it will.
Yeah, that's what they proposed, was that basically the more intense you go, especially when your body is perceiving it now as not adequate, that your body will adapt. They referenced like another study in adult women that showed that those who were doing moderate exercise, that their body started making changes. It actually suppressed their ovarian activity and lowered their estrogen production. So like our bodies can do a lot of crazy counteractive things if it right. thinks we're over-exercising. And they said in animals, and I thought this was really interesting, that in some animals, when they are put into really intense physical activity and intense stress, even when they have completely tons of food and they have all of their calories, their bodies can still create responses to like mitigate the intense physical activity. It said, for example, that some animals, their basal metabolic rate will drop. They'll even reduce breast milk production and things like that, even when they have enough food and are taking in enough calories. And that's just from overdoing it.
Well, it all comes back to the fact that our bodies love us and they want us to survive. And our body doesn't know that you're trying to run an ultra marathon because it's 2018 and you're like, you know, Captain America. Instead, your body thinks, oh my gosh, something awful is happening that I have to like migrate across the world to survive. And so I better, you know, slow down what I'm using in my body and so I won't die.
Exactly. What I take away from this is the amount of physical activity that we do does not correlate consistently to weight loss. So I think we can very easily propose that by over-exercising and creating that stress in your body, you're going to be hindering your results, especially towards sustainable weight loss and towards, you know, a healthy weight loss. So that's why I think it's really important to find the amount of exercise. Like in this study, it found that lower levels of exercise, and like I like what Jim was saying, you know, like yoga, Pilates, you know, healthy exercises that are supporting your body, building strength, and aren't being a hardcore stressor. Because just running on the treadmill for hours is probably not the way to go for weight loss. All right. Well, I don't think we are going to. We failed.
You're right. We're not going to be able to finish. That's We tried. We just like so many things. We have all the hacks. We will get to the rest of it. We promise, Brittany.
Brittany has two more questions or so. And they're good questions. She brought forth a lot of nuanced questions that we haven't tackled specifically. So
Brittany, next time, we know we have one listener.
This is the Brittany episode.
One listener that will definitely be tuning in again.
I know. I think we could give a teaser too. Next episode will probably also have Daniela. So now we can have two. So because that's a unique name, right?
Yeah.
If your name is Daniela, you might be on the next episode with Brittany. Yeah. And that might be the whole episode. All right. This has been absolutely wonderful. So a few things for listeners before we go. To recap, if you go to ifpodcast.com/episode90, I'll put links. We talked about so many things. I'll put links to all the things we talked about. Definitely, follow us on Instagram. We are ifpodcast, but also go to my Instagram, which is Melanie Avalon, and look for that picture for Ariane's Wake Sleep book, which so amazing. Like I said, she'll sign it for you if you win. Just comment on it, your favorite intermittent fasting benefit, and tag a friend who could also benefit or who's also enjoying the intermittent fasting lifestyle. And like I said, you can enter as many times as you want. Just comment more IF benefits and tag more friends in each one. Also, like I said, this episode was supported by Bioptimizers from the beginning and Preptish. So we love them, and definitely check out the show notes for the links to discounts and free trials for all of that. You can also subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, and then you will get the episodes downloaded automatically each and every week. You won't even have to do anything. So definitely, definitely check that out. And anything from you, Jen, before we go?
No, I think this was a really fun episode.
This was fun. I liked it.
Yep.
And a happy early New Year's to you, even though it will have already happened. But
Yep. Same.
Oh, this will come out in a new year, in a different year.
It will. 2019.
Crazy. The year.
Yeah,
the
it's going to be a big year. I'm calling it big things in 2019 for the intermittent fasting community.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Intermittent Fasting Podcast. Please remember, the opinions we discussed on this show do not constitute medical advice. We're not doctors. Check out ifpodcast.com for more information on us. Theme music was composed by Leland Cox. See you next week.